This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. And this morning, in response to the slim by-elections, we are asking on Twitter, do you think Barisan Nasional's landslide win in this election is reflective of the wider support across the country? Do let us know what you think. Because like I said, over the weekend, BN decisively won the slim by-elections with a majority of 10,945 votes, far surpassing BN's previous win, vote majority of 2,183 at the last GE14. Now, the BN candidate defeated the independent candidate, Amer Kushari Muhammad, backed by the yet-to-be-registered Pejuang Party of Tun Dr. Mahathir Muhammad, and also the former teacher who was an independent candidate.
Yeah, so Zaidi, who is also the Tanjung Malim UMNO acting division chief, he crushed the vote with 84% of the numbers, compared to Amir, who secured just 14%, and Santa Sakiran got just 276 votes.
So Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin said that this was indicative of the rakyat's trust in BN and by extension, the PN government. He also noted that the victory also proved that the Muafakat National Trio of Bersatu, UMNO and PAS was capable of forming a solid political pack. So for a deeper dive on what this means, we speak to Ben Sofian, Program Director at the Merdeka Centre. Good morning, Ben. Now, many of us had expected Barisan Nasional to retain the slim seat. But did you foresee the landslide victory?
Thanks for having me on. Yes, it was foreseen that Barisan Nasional or any of the Perikatan Nasional type of configuration parties would do very well. And I think this rests on several reasons. Number one, Slim River is traditionally a BN stronghold and reflective of the kind of Malay rural with a strong representation of Felda settlers. Number two, the situation with the opposition, you know, has fragmented somewhat, you know, since February 2020. And I think that this has been reflected in the poor showing by the Pejuang candidate there. And finally, we do have the presence of Tan Sri Muhyiddin as the country's prime minister. And although he did not, feature strongly in the campaign physically, but nonetheless, he is a kind of unifying figure for many of the voters, particularly those in the rural and the Bumi Putra ones. And as a result, the result of the election was entirely expected and somewhat reflective of what's going to come within the short term.
So how closely are you reading to the performance of Amir Kushari, who was in effect the Pejuang candidate? Does it indicate that the new party has no support, or do you chalk it up to the fact that the party is still so new?
Well, I don't, discount the fact that it's a new party, but I think it is a reflection of a wider trend that we detect emerging. At the Merdeka Centre, we have been doing polls, and in fact, we did run poll quietly in Slim River just 2 days before election to see, how things would shape up. And I think how the results panned out turned out the way we expected it to be. Essentially, what it means is the support from the Malay electorate towards political parties has consolidated towards Perikatan Nasional or Muafakat Nasional, what have you. And this amounts to approximately, roughly speaking, about 85% of the electorate. So it wouldn't have mattered which candidate or party contested against Barisan Nasional there. But the fact is, it is indicative of a wide-ranging shift in voter sentiment towards the current incumbent ruling coalition by a large measure.
And Ben, if I look at the results on a more granular basis, what were some of the findings on voter patterns?
Well, what we did detect is that there is a significant swing from, what was formerly Pakatan Harapan or the other parties straight towards Barisan Nasional. What is quite clear is that the PAS voters in the constituency also voted for the Barisan Nasional candidate, and there is an additional synergy that's slightly higher than the votes of the two parties combined. And so as a result, we conclude that there is a swing perhaps as much as 10%, you know, one way, so 20% either way, from the Malay electorate towards the BN candidate. At the same time, there is also a substantial number of non-Malay voters that voted for the BN candidate as well. So I think this, you know, speaks of a wider pattern that we may see if elections are held in West Malaysia in the coming 6 months or so, particularly with the fall of Pakatan Harapan, the fragmentation of that coalition, and the consolidation of a dominant Malay coalition in the form of Perikatan Nasional. So we're going to see politics pretty much spoken for even before the contests are held, providing that Perikatan Nasional holds firm in its current situation.
So are you saying that, are you indicating, Ben, that you think BN's win in Slim is reflective of wider support across the country among just not also of the non-Malay voter base?
Yes and no. What I think is going on is this is a pattern that we see emerging in most parts of Peninsula Malaysia, but the same cannot be said in Sabah or Sarawak. The election in Sabah at the end of this month is going to be very interesting because I think it will reflect a different kind of dynamics. But the Slim River by-election may reflect the sentiments or the tendencies of voters in the rural parts of West Coast of Peninsula Malaysia. And this means that voters, particularly Malay Bumiputra voters, are pretty much going to swing towards Perikatan Nasional or Muafakat Nasional, whatever have you, on that side, against Pakatan Harapan. On the part of non-Malay voters, there is some indication that younger voters didn't bother to make the trip home to vote. So I think in that respect, the results in Slim River may not be entirely reflective of the non-Malay vote. But I think the Malay vote seems to be pretty reflective of what we are seeing in our service.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Ben Sufian, Program Director of Merdeka Centre, saying that, yes, you know, Slim River might be indicative of what might happen if there was a future, well, an upcoming general elections in terms of voter patterns, especially for the rural Malay vote in the West Coast. So, you know, it looks like it's going to be a bit of a challenge for Pakatan Harapan.
Yeah, and I guess what is most intriguing for me about what Ben said was the fact that well, his polls and his straw polls and the indications are that the Malay voter base will is swinging significantly and materially towards the Muafakat National triumvirate of PAS, UMNO and you know, Bersatu.
Yeah, and this morning we were asking this exact question, right? Asking on Twitter, do you think Barisan Nasional's landslide win in the Slim by-election is reflective of wider support across the country? And we had 250 votes, of which 29% say yes, 59% say no, and 12% say not sure. I mean, we really, really won't know until we have GE15, which at this moment, the date is still unknown. Of course, there's been a lot of noise that there might be a snap elections. I think that will also really depend on what happens at the Sabah elections, which is going to be happening on September 26. But up next, we'll be having the breakfast grill, where I will be speaking to Lau Cheng Chou, Research Manager in the Economics and Business Unit of Ideas, and Dr. Shankaran Nambiar, Head of Research at MIER, on what should be our country's medium and long-term policies in terms of economics, because we have many structural issues, and this is particularly meaningful as we just celebrated Merdeka. But up next, a rock break brought to you by Mercedes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.